So, do we live in a playground or do we live in a battlefield? So, depends on who you ask and why you ask. So we're going to start by reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. So, there's a story about a young man who used to be bullied when he'd go to school for his lunch money. And since he was smaller than the other boy, he would always give him his lunch money. So then he decided to fight back. He was going to go take karate lessons, but the instructor wanted $5 a lesson. And he said, that's a lot of money. He found out it was a lot cheaper to pay the bully, and he gave up karate. So too many Christians believe that it's easier to pay the bully than to learn how to defeat him. And many Christians don't realize that we are living in a battleground, not a playground. Or a battlefield, I should say, not a playground. We just sang Onward Christian Soldiers, and I want to read some of those lyrics again. Some of them we didn't sing. But Onward Christian Soldiers, marching us to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the Royal Master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee, and then Christian soldiers on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, one in body. We, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. So one thing's for certain, we're soldiers, right? In the army of God. In the army of Jesus Christ. And so we have an enemy. There's what I just read, by the way. We have an enemy. And there's a threefold assault against Christians. And our enemy consists of the flesh, the world, and the devil. And so we have our own flesh wanting to drag us back into our sinful things and our sinful nature and what we used to do in our old life. And then we have this world trying to drag us into its games and toys and pleasures. And then we have the devil making sure all of that is going according to his plan. So we're going to start by talking about the flesh. It's incredible, but our flesh, our old nature, fights against the Spirit of God. It's a constant battle. It's a constant fight. It fights against the things of God in our life. And in Galatians, it tells us, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. So it tells us that constantly our spirit and our flesh are in a fight. And so anything that our flesh desires, it most likely is going to be against what the Spirit desires, and vice versa. And so if we take a look at our human fleshly bodies, this carnal shell that gets exhausted and gets sick, and it battles fears, and we battle insecurities, and we lack faith at times, and we lack physical strength. Sometimes it feels like an anchor dragging us down and away. And I'm sure that some of you probably didn't want to come tonight. You didn't feel good. You were thinking about it. Thought about skipping out. Some of you probably didn't feel like reading your Bibles this week. Some of you felt like you didn't want to pray this week. Why? Because that old person, our flesh, was pulling you down. In Romans, it tells us, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the spirits of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. So the fight rages, and if it's not our flesh, it's the world, it's the system in this world. We're fighting against our old nature, our flesh, and we're fighting against this world. And it's not the physical globe that we're fighting. We're fighting against our society around us. If you've listened to any of the speeches for these elections coming up, all these things that they're promising to do or take away or give us, the system that's the world system is separate from God. And they're always quick to say they're separate from God. And the world system and all of its trappings are our enemies. In 1 John it tells us, everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. It's pretty clear. The world system is one big, huge, distracting temptation. You don't have to go very far to be tempted. We're bombarded with pictures. We're bombarded with products. There's advertisements and all these enticements. No rules. Anything goes. Satisfy yourself. Don't worry about the consequences. They make it look good. You look at beer commercials. They show happy men and women playing beach volleyball. Not the millions of families affected by alcoholic parents and spouses. Not the thousands of families affected by drunk drivers. Free sex. It's okay to have sex with anyone you want. Doesn't matter. They don't show the babies that are being aborted, the guilt and the pain that comes from that. They don't tell of the 40 new STDs being discovered each year. They don't even talk about AIDS anymore. So needs versus wants. We constantly are told what we need. We're constantly told that we need this from advertisers, and we need that, and we've got to have this. Peer pressure and outside influences. So for sure this world is very tempting. It appears sometimes that it'd be so much easier and people would be so much happier, and it seems that this world would have so much more without God. And if we're not battling our flesh and we're not battling the world, there's the puppet master, Satan himself, who pulls strings. It's amazing but true, many people don't believe in Satan. They don't believe there's a devil. Oh, you don't believe in that red-suited, horn-headed little creature, do you? In 1999, in the Gallup poll, 86% of Americans believe that there's a God. Some polls said 95% believe that there's a God. But only 63% believe there's a devil. So they believe in one and not the other. And he likes it that way. He likes us not to believe that he doesn't or he exists. All we have to do is watch the news on any given evening and count the number of depraved and horrible and sick things that man does to his fellow man. And when you retch and watch a segment that makes you sick to your stomach, there's acts among human beings that are so evil that they span beyond even the ability of man. We look at gross things, evil things, sick things, men flying loaded planes into the World Trade Center. That's evil. That's demonic. Hitler trying to destroy an entire race of people. That's demonic. It's evil. Kidnappers, rapists, child porn, straight from the pit of hell. Yes, there's a devil, believe it or not, and he's determined to destroy us. And he'll fight, and he'll gnaw, and he'll scratch, and he'll pull out all the stops in trying to keep us from spiritually growing. And we've talked about how God loves us and how he has a wonderful plan for your lives. And that's true, and that's encouraging to know. But at the same time, Satan hates us, and he has a horrible plan for our lives. He wants to distract and disrupt us and ultimately destroy us and disrupt our walk from God. He wants us as Christians to be weak and feeble and ineffective. He doesn't want us to rely on Christ. He doesn't want us to rely on the church body. He doesn't want you reading your Bible. He doesn't want you reaching out to others with the gospel. He wants your marriages to be ruined. He wants your kids to be shattered. And he'll do anything to take you as miserable and depressed as he can get you. And he'll have anything to do and everything to do to you but help you grow spiritually strong. So we're engaged in that spiritual war, a serious battle. Think back before you were a Christian. Some of you can remember. Satan was not opposed to you, never even bothered you. You weren't no threat. You weren't no danger to his plans. And then you chose sides. You said, I'm going to make a stand and I'm going to live for Christ. you committed your life to Jesus Christ. And we know on that day, then you became part of the family of God. And in doing that, you declared war. You said, I took a stand, and now I'm at war. And on that day, you enlisted as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul told young Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The spiritual war that we're involved in is a good fight. It says here, fight the good fight of faith. It's worth every ounce of energy that we can put into it, every ounce of energy that we can muster up, because salvation of our souls and other souls is at stake. And despite all the attacks, people are still getting saved. So we have to be strong. Ephesians, back to that first verses that we read. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Paul writes it down in his letter. He exhorts us, encourages us, and commands us as believers to be strong in the Lord. Finally, and most importantly, brothers, here's what you must do. Be strong in your opinions. Be strong in your experiences. Be strong in your bank accounts. Be strong in your families. Be strong in your career. Be strong in your knowledge. Be strong in the Lord. If we look at Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, I think everyone needs to memorize the scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. It's pretty clear, right? Trust in God with all our heart, not with part of our heart, not with the time and the things that we want to trust Him with, but trust Him with all of our heart and submit to Him all of our ways, everything that we do. And it says He will make our path straight. It doesn't say He might. It says He will. Only in the Lord, in power of His might, will we be victorious and overcome any and all spiritual attacks. Zechariah here on the screen says, so He said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. It's by God's Spirit. Think about back to the Old Testament, to Joshua. 40 years of wandering, wondering, and waiting. But then Moses died and the Israelites were ready to move into the Promised Land. Finally, they would walk into the promises of God. And at the same time, there was giants in the land, fierce and mighty people, armies, chariots, enemies, and large walled cities. And God told Joshua 3 times to be strong and of good courage. Be strong, I have gone before you. Be strong, I am with you. Be strong, every place your foot touches is yours. Those are great words for us to live by in battle, in spiritual battle. Be strong, God has gone before us. Be strong, God is with us. Be strong, every place our foot touches, it belongs to God, and He's given it to us. This week, I know that some of you have had an unprecedented week of spiritual warfare, and you've seen stuff that's been so overwhelming in your life. And maybe it's not a week, but it's a month. And maybe it's not been a month, maybe it's been a year, maybe it's been many years, but you've made a decision to follow God and to live righteously. And you, like Joshua, are being told to be strong. And again, here in Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law My servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Be strong so you can obey the words of the Lord. It's not easy to obey, right? Those of you who have kids know it's not easy for your kids to obey. I know as a grown-up it's not easy for me to obey, especially when we have all the forces of our flesh and all the temptations of the world and all the accusations the enemy throws hard at us. Anytime we decide to take a stand for Jesus and want to grow closer to Him, we can expect a spiritual assault on our lives. It goes with the territory. But I want you to consider this. Heavy spiritual warfare, spiritual attacks, are signs that you're on the right track. If you're being attacked and you're feeling the stresses of spiritual warfare, you're on the right track. If you were a sideline Christian, not interested in spiritual things, then you're right where Satan wants you. You're not a threat to him anymore. He's not going to hassle you and bother you. But once you take a strong stand to obey the word of God, then he'll unleash a full frontal assault on your life. And so Paul says, be strong in the power of his might. And then Paul tells us to be covered. In the next verse, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Any good soldier is going to tell you that it's essential to have the right battle gear when you go into war. If you have the wrong gear, you're destined for failure. And so here Paul is not only telling us that it's our strength that comes from the Lord, but our strategies or our equipment, the armor of God. We can't go into the battlefield thinking that we can win it on our own, with our own might or our own methods, because the enemy's stronger than we are. And he's not only stronger, but sometimes he's smarter. We're pretty dumb. We're dumb sheep. And so sometimes he's smarter. The King James Version reads this verse, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The word wiles is the Greek word for methodia. And so we get our word methods from the word wiles. So it's telling us that Satan has his methods or his plots and his plans and his schemes to overthrow us. In 1 Peter, it tells us, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." And so I find there's two prevailing thoughts about the devil. Sometimes Christians underestimate Satan. They think that he's a teddy bear, and he's just kind of hanging out there, you know, the cartoon character that you see, and that he doesn't have much power. And we think, oh, this movie's not going to hurt us, or this drink isn't going to kill me, and that's no big deal. Don't judge me, brother. He's not that big of a deal. Or you hear a person that says, they try to take on Satan like they want to fight a guy on the street. "Come on, put your dukes up. I'll take care of you," by their own power. And Jude 1 says, even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but he said, "The Lord rebuke you." It's with the power of the Lord that we rebuke, bind, and command Satan to leave us. We can't fight him on our own power. But with the Spirit of God, it's an easy battle. Again, the devil is not a cartoon character. He's powerful. He's intelligent. He's a prize fighter, a master deceiver. Many fall to his schemes and his methods and his devices. The other thing that I see is Christians overestimate Satan. They give Satan too much power. And they believe that that he's all-powerful. And we know that he's not, that God is all-powerful. And though Satan may be cunning, he's not all-knowing. God is all-knowing. And as a matter of fact, he's no match or equal to Jesus Christ at all. He wants us to think and try to fool us that he's so powerful, but he's not. So many people, they spend so much time fighting or focusing on Satan and giving Satan so much power and so much credit for things that may happen, and they're not glorifying God, and they're not leaning on God for strength. They're running in fear from Satan. So we can go one way or the other. We can underestimate him and let him control us, or we can overestimate him and think he has more power than he really does and live our lives in fear. So we need to stand strong in the Lord, and we need to put on the full armor of God. And whatever battle you're in, whatever temptation that you might face, God's always going to give you the ability to overcome it. He'll always give you the strength to overcome it. I hear many Christians say, "You know what? The temptation was too much. I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't handle it. I finally had to give in. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't stand against the pressure." And 1 Corinthians tells us, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so you can endure it." He's going to provide a way out, right? So we're not going to be tempted beyond what we can bear, and he'll provide us a way out so we can endure the temptation. He knows exactly what our breaking point is. God does. and He'll always provide us a way to get out of temptation. So we need to be strong in the Lord, and we need to put on the full armor of God. And so you can see how important it is to be connected to Jesus Christ, and how important it is to live continually in communion and in closeness with Him. This is an area where many Christians fail. They don't abide in Jesus. They don't live in the Spirit of Christ. And when are you the very strongest in your Christian walk? It's when you're praying. It's when you're reading the Word. It's when you're spending time with Christ and depending on Him. And you're the strongest when you're at the end of yourself and you say, you know what, God, I can't handle this on my own. I need your help. You finally realize that we can't do things on our own. And we're our weakest when we're out on our own and think we can do everything on our own, trying to accomplish things in our own strength, in our own power, not in the Word of God, not in prayer. So we need to put on the whole armor of God. We shouldn't leave any piece off. We have to look at who's wrestling with us. So we're to be strong, we're to be covered, and we're to be aware. So the next verse in Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." The King James Version again, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places." We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not like taking your baby brother down and beating him up. In the Greek, the word wrestle means hand-to-hand combat. And in Greek games, if someone lost a wrestling match, they gouge the other person's eyes out. Isn't that nice? And so Paul is here, he's describing a serious fight. He's not describing a little argument. He's not describing a spat. He's describing a very serious fight. It's interesting who we're not fighting. It doesn't say here we're fighting other people. It doesn't say here that that we're fighting with our boss, or we're fighting with our wife, or we're fighting with our children. So if we're striving and fighting against people and struggling with others, we're fighting the wrong battle. We're spending too much time and energy fighting against the wrong things. So we don't need to get sidetracked by fighting against people. A lot of times we get wrapped up in problems with our neighbors and our bosses and other drivers on the road, right? And there's spiritual forces at work that are used to aggravate the situation and escalate them out of proportion. That's why you see road rage and a guy pulls out a gun and blows the guy away next door because he cut him off. It's a spiritual disaster. Our fight is against a well-organized, systematic horde of demons. So we don't live in a playground, do we? And if we're not living for Jesus, if we are living our lives driven by our flesh and this world and Satan, yes, this is a playground. Go have fun. Go have all the fun you want. But in the end, the damage it causes, and again, those of you who may have grown up not knowing the Lord know that you probably still suffer damages from living in this world and living by the forces that are in this world. But as Christians who abide in the Lord, we're living in a battleground. And we must be strong, we must be covered, and we must be aware. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you that you are on our side, Lord, and that we have your Spirit with us. Lord, that we can overcome the temptations of the flesh, Lord, the desires that we may be dragging us back into the life that we were before we're Christians, or the fleshly desires that we may have even today, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, that you've given us the tools and the power to overcome our own flesh, Lord, to overcome the things of this world, the temptations of this world, Lord, and even overcome Satan, Lord. Lord, and it's important for us to know that you won't let us be tempted beyond what we can handle. Lord, you're always going to have a way for us to get out. Lord, and I just pray that each one here tonight will think about the areas in their lives where they feel tempted, Lord, and have them bring them to you, Lord. And before you say, God, how do I handle this temptation? How do I deal with this situation? So when they cross that path again, Lord, you've given them the tools, you've given them wisdom, Lord, on how to deal with that. Lord, help us to stand for what's true. What's true? Stand on your word, Lord, and to abide in you. Help us to live under the grace and the glory of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We know He came and died on the cross, Lord, so we can have the victory, Lord. We know what the end of the book says. Lord, the battle is already won. Lord, we just have to endure, Lord, until our time comes. We thank you, and I pray you bless each one here. In your name, amen.